Hi, it's Leah. Welcome to the second podcast for Body Image Positive, BIP. Thanks for the feedback on the first one. We're really excited that you're excited about the podcast, and we're glad to bring you a second edition. I'm here today with Jamie, who's going to talk a bit about their body and their relationship with their body. And thanks for being here, Jamie.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm super thrilled to be able to have a conversation with you about this stuff. I wondered if you could just start off by telling us a little bit about your experiences in your body and your relationship with your body.
In my body, I see the world very differently, and like what that looks like for me is basically a whole bunch of ableism, which is basically knowing like where to go and what to do and having those resources like flat out for me on the table. And like when I go out places, like I have to make sure that my body will be safe and that my friends know what they're getting themselves into, my date knows what they're getting themselves into. Those kind of things can be very triggering for me to bring up at times. And like how to work around it and how to like work around with like different people, because we're not all radical and awesome, and like you know, that safe space of like asking for help and like building up my own community. And I found it to be like building up my own community to be like very interesting and very you know, talking about like solidarity and embracing, and I found it to be very uplifting to do all those things. But in that process, like I've had like a lot of trouble like pinpointing out that this is ableism and that this is anxiety because of ableism, and how that really affects me on a day-to-day basis. So it's like, how would I want to be seen as my date, like by my date or by my friends, or, you know, so there's like a lot of things that I have to take accountability for my own, and like also how that affects me and the way I view my body is basically, well, it's good to know that I have all like a radical community to choose from and to pick from, because if not, then I would probably not be here.
You mentioned dating, when we were talking earlier, you had some really interesting thoughts on sort of disability and sexuality, and I wondered if you could share some of that with us.
Yeah, so like for like when I go out, which I don't actually have that much experience in, because that's hard, but when people approach me or I approach people, I have to really get a sense of like who they are before anything happens. And like but I started labeling myself as demisexual, which kind of like involves like a lot of like intimate connection and like, you know, trust. And I don't want to say that I have trust issues, but I'm not just going to like go out with anyone or be friends with anyone. So I think like in that aspect, like I chose the label demisexuality for myself, but I also don't like it like being in the queer community and how, you know, sex positive is only like sex positive. Like there can't be a lack of sex in sex positivity, and like what that looks like from a person who identifies as all these things, you know, like I'm a queer crip and like a radical diva, and like how does that really affect like how I date and how I interact with people.
At this point, my cell phone went off really unprofessionally, and what better opportunity to give you a blooper reel?
What, are you going to blackmail me?
I'd rather limit my fuck-ups to, like, one major fuck-up in a podcast. That would be great.
Wait, I have to burp.
Cool.
Is that still be... recorded?
Yeah,
it's recording. That would suck, eh?
I know my place in this ableist world.
Have the burps subsided, you think?
I think so.
You think so?
And if not, I could just start over.
Okay. Oh, God. You said earlier you wanted to talk about demisexuality.
Yeah, and how, that's not seen as, a positive thing. Like, I feel like there's, a lack of understanding around, demisexuality and asexuality and what that looks like for some people. Mm-hmm. And also, too, it kind of intersects with me being, disabled, because people wonder what my sex looks like. But I can't tell them what my sex looks like, because I haven't found the right person. And so I have no shame in, being I'm a virgin. But I feel like there's, that kind of, shame from, other people. So, other people have that shame for me. Mm-hmm. And it's, I'm perfectly fine with the way, my body is and the way that I am. And, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about the question that we talked about earlier from the first podcast, where I was talking about sort of shame and what we lie about and so on?
Yeah.
Is there something that you systematically lie about to people?
Probably how I'm feeling.
Mm.
Because it's such a normal thing for me to feel, a certain way. And maybe it might not be psychologically, but maybe it's physically or mental, maybe I'm not as happy because my back hurts, mm-hmm. or my legs are too stiff, and, for me, it's just, a normal, I fucking hate the word normal, but it's just, a normal thing for me to feel, so mm-hmm. when people ask me, and I don't know how people are gonna react to it, right, so I can't be like, well, I'm kind of feeling really sucky today, because my legs,
mm-hmm.
they're hurting, or, so, in that retrospect, there are some friends, I don't even feel, super close to, because I, as much as, I want to be able to tell them these things, it's just, it's a part of my everyday life,
mm-hmm.
so it's hard for me to know what normal feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Or okay feels like, because I'm not, okay,
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. medically or socially speaking.
A friend of mine said something really interesting one day, which was that people who are on the receiving end of oppression become really good at making other people comfortable.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, does that resonate at all with you, or?
Yes. Because I use humor as a way to make people feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I have met, some really cool people through doing that, but, I've picked up on that, I do use humor as a way to, don't be scared of, the queer crip in the corner mm-hmm. of the room, come talk to me, you know? Yeah. And, I get, that is also really tiring, too.
Yeah.
It's also really tiring because, I'm seen as, so uplifting and so inspirational, even to, my friends. Because when my friends want to call me inspirational, I have no problem with that. In the sense of, they're only inspired because of, the conversation that we had.
Mm-hmm.
I have to also own the fact that I am an activist and that I am a poet. And yeah. these are the things. Well, I'm an artist. And that these are the things that, I have to incorporate into my life. And, mm-hmm. But, yeah. It's shocking to some people. And I also lie about, how I feel. I'm scared to let people know, how I'm really feeling. Because, mm-hmm. I'm really reclusive when I have, really, I don't know if it's a mental breakdown when you know you're going to have a mental breakdown. But I have a lot of those.
If a tree falls in the woods and you know it's going to fall.
Yeah. I have a lot of those moments where, I know I'm going to break down, so I need to, recluse and take care of myself. And, mm-hmm. When I ask people for, validation or anything like that. A lot of people become, like, very off-put by it, mm-hmm. like, because I am happy, and I do own, like, everything that I am. It's just, like, some days I can't do that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Like, even as a fat woman, as a queer woman, like, I sometimes experience this dichotomy of either people perceiving my body as somehow not okay or repulsive or whatever, or sort of fetishizing me.
Yeah.
Do you find that dichotomy at all in the way that people perceive you?
Only by cis white men. So it's not like something that I encounter every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I don't know very many cis white men.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that I do know that are cis white men are very, like, disability-friendly and just want to, like, learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that in my, you know, my cisgendered white male friends. But, yeah, I think, like, I think also the two, like, for me, like, I can kind of use my disability as, like, a service, right? So, like, I practice, like, using my disability as a service and, like, everything else I do. So, mm-hmm. like, why not my sex life?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, like, somebody else who might not have that privilege.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, if somebody was like, yeah, like, let's use your walker and see what happens, I would... I don't know, like, again, demisexual, but I would be down for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, there is, like, a lot of bullshit that goes along with, like, fetishization, mm-hmm. and it also kind of, like, draws the line that, like, you can't offer. Like, you can't be like, hey, I would totally be into this, like, if this works for you,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's either, like, you're either seen as, like, these people just want to get off, so they're going to take whatever they can get,
mm-hmm.
or it's, like, seen as, like, a really bad thing,
mm-hmm.
which I think, like, fetishization is kind of, like, kind of a gray area, mm-hmm. in that way, but that, for me, is just, like, my personal experience.
I just wanted to say a huge thanks again to Jamie for joining us, and we hope you enjoyed the second podcast. Join us next time for hopefully another epic interview. Stay excellent.